Dick Barton, Special Agent. Wilhelm Kramer and his gang have captured the secret weapon, also one of the two scientists who invented it. But Kramer is still short of some vital information before he can operate it. Colonel Gardner, head of MO-13, and Dick Barton are searching for this information in the dark at the other scientist's house, have found the papers, and are about to leave when suddenly...
Help! Take it off me! Take it off!
Shine the torch, sir.
It won't work.
Listen. Listen, sir, there's something alive. Coming this way.
Now blast the torch.
Shut the door, then.
Just a sec. There, it's got it now. Where is this thing? Torch is okay now.
Shine it on the floor.
Oh, Jimmy. By Jove. Quick, Barton, quick.
Okay. Hold the torch steady on its eyes.
Got it. Keep well back. Make sure. Yes. Oh, what a beastly mess.
Listen a minute. Are there any more about?
Can't hear anything else. Just a minute. Good heavens, Barton. The room is full of glass cases, look.
And every case has got live... Oh, what are they?
Looks like some species of spider to me.
Never saw any spiders like this before. Look at the size of the one I shot.
I wonder why it was sliding across the floor to us. Should have thought it would have run at us.
Damaged, maybe, when our friend knocked over its case.
Yes, look at its legs. But what about our friend? Let's take a look at him. He's not dead. He's breathing.
Perhaps he's one of the specimens that Sir Archie told your secretary to warn us about. Nasty-looking creature. He's out for the count. Doesn't seem to be any mark on him. Must be shot.
Wonder who he is. One of Kramer's men?
You bet.
Well, let's get into a doctor. He's too useful to leave lying about. May be able to help us a lot. He's the first real clue we've found.
Right. If you'll help me with the Sleeping Beauty here, you take his legs.
Okay. Lift. Outside with him. And let's shut the damn door.
Colonel God. Thank you, sir.
We had a shot.
Everything's all right, Constable. Give me a hand with this man to my car, will you?
We've got a friend of yours here.
What do you got there, Captain Barton? A corpse?
Snowy White, you back?
You betcha. Wouldn't miss out on this.
How's the head?
Oh, that's all right now, sir. Just like to meet the bloke that did it, that's all. Is this more trouble?
Well, we're onto something, I think.
And you left me out of it.
Well, I'm sorry, Snowy, but you'd had that nasty smack on the bean. You weren't really fit for action.
But I am now, sir. Like old times all over again, isn't it, sir? Reckon we're lucky, you and I, getting into this racket.
Reckon we are, Snowy.
Well, what's the setup now?
Well, the other side seems to have scored most of the points up to now. A fellow called Kramer's the leader of the opposition.
Any idea where he hangs out?
No, but that fellow we've just captured in this house may be one of Kramer's crowd.
Put him in the car. I'll take him back to my office, and by tomorrow morning, things should be moving. Barton, you and your friend, get some shut-eye and be at my place by 10.
Right, sir, and at 10 tomorrow morning, we move over to the attack.
You took the words out of my mouth. Well, good night.
Good night.
Good night, sir.
And don't dream of spiders.
Look, sir, over the road. I've just seen him.
Seen who, Snowy?
Well, in the Cockney on the head. Over the other side of the road. Look, tall chap with the Omberg hat and the Macintosh. The Parisher.
Snowy, don't let him see you, man. Yes, it's him, all right.
Blast, he has seen us. Oh, he's got a car waiting. Let's follow him, sir.
Good idea, Snowy.
There's a taxi. Hey, taxi!
Follow that car. Quick, driver, there's a quid for you if you don't lose him.
Good enough. Hop in. The lights are against him.
He's away already. Lights have changed. Step on it.
Don't worry, sir. We'll keep on his tail. Looks like he's heading for the river.
Got a pencil, Snowy?
Uh-huh.
I'll drop a note to Colonel Gardner in case anything goes wrong. You watch the chase.
We're doing fine, sir. Tailing him nicely.
Good. Now, dear Colonel, on the track of man in Homburg hat who knifed Jimmy... What happened to Lowe, Snowy?
I'm afraid he's at it, sir. He's still in hospital.
Oh, poor chap. Leaving taxi driver with this note for you. We left taxi at...
He's stopping, sir.
What, already?
Blimey, that was quick. He hopped off and the car's gone on.
That probably helps we'll follow the car. Hold it, driver.
Right, sir.
Think he dodged through that doorway over there, sir.
That warehouse?
Yeah.
Probably hoping to give us the slip. Here, driver, wait for 10 minutes. If we don't come out of that doorway by then, take this note as quick as you can to Colonel Gardner, War Office. I'll finish the note. What's the name of the warehouse?
It's written up Aspinall's...
Aspinall's...
Tea... warehouse.
D warehouse. Here's the note, driver.
Okay, sir. I know the place. I'll bring him back here if you don't come out.
Good man. Give us 10 minutes. And don't forget, driver, Colonel Gardner, War Office.
I won't forget, sir.
Good lad. We'll see you don't regret it. Come on, Snowy.
With you, sir.
Colonel Gardner, War Office. What a blooming oak. What a pair of suckers. Took the bait as easy as kiss your hand.
Sid.
Hello, Professor.
Switch off the engine. They've gone in, have they?
Well, they have. And it worked like a charm. They even give me a quid to take a note to Colonel Gardner.
Nice work, Sid. Nice work. Beat it. Now, go on, beat it.
Yes.
The leader will attend to Mr. Barton and his friend in the leader's own inimitable way.
Well, all I can say is, heaven help them, Professor, if they are left to his tender mercies.
Keep your eyes open, Snowy.
Yeah. Big place, isn't it?
Yeah. Nobody about there. What did you say the name was?
Aspinall's Tea Warehouse, it says on this door.
I can't see any signs of tea lying about.
Well, you'd think they'll have a watchman or somebody on duty, wouldn't you, to stop people from
pinching the tea that isn't here.
Can I help you in any way, gentlemen?
That depends who you are.
I'm an employee of Aspinall's Tea Warehouses Limited. Can I do anything for you?
Well, you could make us a nice cup of tea. 2 lumps.
My friend has a strong sense of humour. I must apologise. Actually, we were expecting to meet someone here. A gentleman in a black Homburg hat, brown Macintosh. You haven't seen him?
No, I don't think I have.
Well, perhaps he went through that door over there.
Oh, this door over here, you mean? Hmm. Please, come this way. This is Mr. Jackson's office, gentlemen. If you'll just step inside. After you, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Tall very much.
Now, what the...
He's banged a perishing door on us, sir. Open it, sir. Open it.
There's no knob on this door on the inside.
No.
And the door fits flush. Yeah, it looks like we walked into a bit of a trap, Snowy, my boy.
Yeah, you know, I thought the old setup smelled a bit fishy. Not much like an office now, is it? Is it?
Not much. Room's completely bare, except for this table in the center here. Now, what do we do,
I'm afraid, Mr. Barton, there's very little you can do.
The blinking...
Now for the melodrama, Snowy.
Precisely, Mr. Barron, as you so intelligently point out. Now for the melodrama.
Where's his voice coming from, sir?
Allow me to explain. By an ingenious mixture of loudspeakers and microphones, I can hear every word you say, my friends, and you can hear what I say.
Who are you, anyway?
But of course, how very impolite of me. My name is Kramer. Wilhelm Kramer.
Blimey, the kingpin himself.
The kingpin himself, as your friend so aptly phrases it, Mr. Barton. But as the hour is late, I suggest we do not waste time. First, you appreciate, I trust, that our friend, the professor, as we call him, the man in the black Homburg hat, was sent as a decoy to lure you here.
Oh, I see the spider and the fly, eh? Trouble with you, Willie, you read too many thrillers before going to bed.
Please, Mr. Barton, don't prolong this discussion under the mistaken impression that you are playing for time.
Meaning what?
Only that the taxi driver who brought you here was also one of my men. So that the little note you wrote to Colonel Gardner was delivered to me.
Oh, love it, Dad. That's a perishing nuisance, isn't it, sir?
Not really, Snowy. Wait and see.
Why not be honest, Barton, and admit that you just had quite a shock?
My dear Willie, you seem to think you held all the trump cards. That remains to be seen.
Quite so. Now, I have a proposition to make to you.
What sort of proposition?
I need new recruits in my organization. Men such as yourself, and for that matter, your friend.
Hear that, Snowy? Join forces. Really, Willie, the things you say.
It is never a wise thing, Mr. Barton, to underestimate your enemy.
I don't, Willie, old sir, but you surely don't expect me to take your outfit seriously, do you?
As to that, Barton, I'll step aside a moment and allow a most eminent British scientist to give you his views. You may have heard of him, Mr. James Thurgood.
Ah, Snowy, the other inventor of the secret weapon. We've been waiting to meet this cove.
Oh, yeah.
Why not be wise, Barton? Don't you realize that Wilhelm Kramer and I, with our new devastating weapon, can have complete mastery over the whole world?
You haven't got all of the weapon yet, old son.
Oh, that's just a matter of time. We have everything except the antidote. Soon we shall have that. Then, Barton, we shall be masters. Masters!
Oh, gets on my nerves, this bloke does, sir. Can't we switch him off?
Do you realize what we offer you, Barton? A share in the complete domination of the civilized world as we know it.
I hate to say it, James Thurgood, but you bore me. Go away and leave us in peace.
Mr. Barton, both I and Mr. Thurgood have asked you to join our party of your own free will.
And like the girl in the song, Willie, our answer is no, 1,000 times no, ain't it, Snowy?
That's right, sir.
In that case, I'm afraid we shall have to use a little persuasion.
Ah, now the melodrama's really beginning, Snowy.
Oh,
I hope, Mr. Barton, that you will continue to find the whole affair as big a joke as you seem to have done so far.
Probably laugh our blooming heads off, will he?
I hope so. But in actual fact, if anyone derives any amusement from the next few minutes, I rather think it will be Mr. Thurgood and myself.
Don't get on with it.
I have already begun to do so. If you look into each corner of the room you are in, Mr. Barton, you will see that four small trap doors have opened.
Blimey, sir. He's right. Look.
Now, Mr. Barton, let us see how much longer you continue to treat the affair as a joke. Watch those little entrances most carefully. You can't get out through them, Mr. Barton. They're too small. But something might get in through them.
Why not get on with it, Willie? This is beginning to get boring.
Just as you wish, of course, Barton. But I did warn you. Can you hear anything? Can you hear anything, Barton? Listen carefully.
Hear that squeaking, sir?
Yeah. Sounds very much like a few of your friends and relations, Willie. In other words, rats.
Yeah, a few relatives in for supper, maybe. Hey, Willie?
In a way, yes. They are hungry, ravenously hungry. They haven't eaten anything for days.
Starving rats, eh? Nice type, our Williams, you know it.
Yeah, one of the best.
You don't wish to change your minds at all, gentlemen.
My dear Cromer, we've already had you and friend James Thurgood trying to persuade us. You don't think that a few more of the same species are likely to make any difference?
I'd advise you both to get onto the table and keep your feet and legs clear of the floor from now on. There is room on the table for you both if you sit close together. You will observe that the legs are made of tubular steel. The rats cannot climb up them, so that you are relatively safe, as long as you don't fall off.
Oh, come on, Willie, let's see your little pets.
Oh, one thing more. These pets, as you call them, which you are just about to meet, are rather different from the usual type of rat. James Thurgood arranged that for me.
Indeed, very kind of him, I'm sure.
Yes. He has injected them with all sorts of strange and unusual diseases. Rabies, bubonic plague. Oh, quite a number. The slightest bite from one of them. And well, Mr. Barton, it will be interesting to see just what happens to you. Most interesting.
You filthy swine,
Cromer. Come, come, my dear Barton. What has happened to the gay laughter, the merry jests? Not getting scared, I trust? Very soon there will be enough of my little pets in this room to keep your mind occupied all night. So I'll leave you until the morning.
Three rousing cheers.
But if before morning you should wish to change your minds, just shout. Nasty thing, bubonic plague.
I shall look forward to meeting you again, Cromer, in slightly different circumstances.
The likelihood of that seems at the moment to be remote. I'll say good night, see you in the morning, and leave you both to your thoughts and the rats.
Oh, my duck, sir. Here they come. I'm onto this table. Quick!
Right beside you, Snowy.
They kind of look ugly, don't they?
What will happen to Barton and Snowy? How can Colonel Gardner find them now? Will the rats get their meal? Listen to the next installment of Dick Barton, Special Agent.